You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome to Wednesday's Racing Podcast. My name is Jack and I'm joined by Kevin O'Malley. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How about yourself?
Yeah, very well indeed. We're here on the Tuesday. Some good racing today. Obviously, some fantastic racing coming up at Donny, so looking forward to it all.
Yeah, St. Ledger meeting Eve, I suppose this could be called, the day before it all begins. But we're going to have a look at four races on the card for Wednesday. We're going to look at the 2:30, the 3 o'clock, the 4:10 and the 4:45. More on that a bit later, but as we build up to the St. Ledger itself, on Monday, the declarations came out. There were 15 confirmations, and Idaho is the favourite for this race. What do you make of the field? There were a few that missed out that were maybe a little bit, surprising omissions.
Yeah, I mean, now that Idaho stepped out of the shadow of Harzand, who he's been in his shadow all season, it seems, he really came of age at York last time out. He's a colt that I've had an eye on since the early start of the season. I had him down as more of a speedy middle distance type because he really has a terrific turn of foot. But he stayed every inch of the trip last time out, and he looked as though, you know, a mile and six would be right up his street on St. Ledger Day, and with a lack of quality overall in behind him. And the race looks set up for him to play a really major part, and I think he'll go ahead and win the race.
Yeah, he's one of seven for Aidan O'Brien, who says he expects three or four to run in the race. Idaho, I think, is a given, obviously. And then of the rest, are there any that you would be looking at maybe for a place?
Well, Houses of Parliament has placed claims. Sword Fighter is a solid enough horse. He could go well for a long way. But they lack the overall quality you'd associate with horses that can really upset the odds or serve it up to them here. You know, you've got the likes of Red Verdon and Muntaha, who's unexposed for John Gosden as well in the field. And you'd imagine that they're just a little bit more progressive than Aidan O'Brien's other runners. But you just never know with Aidan O'Brien, do you?
No, and you never know with these types of races as well.
Yeah.
They're always a surprise around the corner. Red Verdon's in there as well. He's been suffering injury problems, we've read in the Racing Post today.
Yeah, I think he's had a few little health issues. He had to skip York, and it's been a little bit of a struggle for Ed Dunlap's team to get him here, which is a little bit of a concern for his backers. You know, you'd expect him to run a big race and maybe reach the first two or three, but at the same time, for win purposes, you prefer to have seen him have a cleaner preparation for the race.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Harzand, and, it's Irish Champions weekend coming up, and we're expecting some good weather in the build-up, so the ground should be nice and firm, you would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how much sunshine they get over there, but obviously Harzand would prefer a good ease in the ground, especially over this mile and two trip. And especially with a filly called Minding in the field, who is, at the moment, she's the favourite. She's probably the clear favourite based on the fact that there's still a little bit of if and but about whether Harzand is going to turn up, because he does have the option of going to for the Ark Trials on Sunday. So it remains to be seen exactly where Harzand is going to turn up. Obviously, in regard to the Irish Champion Stakes, we want to see the best colts against the best fillies, and we want to see the best horses against the best horses, and Minding versus Harzand has a really nice ring to it for this weekend, obviously to back up the St. Ledger meeting at this side of the Irish Sea. So I would love to see that race. I've always been a Harzand fan, but I do think he needs a good dig in the ground in order to get on top of Minding. Yeah, so fascinating to see how it'll all play out.
Yeah, well, like you said, it is supposed to be sunny. Well, it's supposed to be clear anyway. Whether, as you say, how bright it is depends on how firm the ground goes, but we will wait and see. Dermot Wells says he's just waiting and seeing. Maybe Thursday he might make a decision on it.
Yeah, of course he has Fascinating Rock in the race as well, who's a little bit more versatile in regards to the ground, but he too wouldn't mind a little bit of cut. So he has two very high class colts there, and he'll be watching the weather with a keen eye.
Yeah, well, fascinating rock. We expect to go. We'll wait and see whether the pre-Niel on Sunday is a better option. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, it could well be. So those ARC trials on Sunday will be fascinating to see. I think we'll get to see how good this Japanese contender for the ARC is. Mahakiki, I think it's called. Mm. I think price-wise in the Racing Post has tipped that up at 10-1 or so for today for the ARCs this morning. So
yeah,
yeah, it's all going to play out. I still think Harzand is my horse for the ARC in Sean T. Yeah, I do really love the colt, but he does need a little bit of juice in the ground, as we say.
Well, it all play out. It's an exciting weekend. It's a really good few days of racing, and we look forward to it all. And it begins at Doncaster on Wednesday. We're going to have a look at four races, as I said. We'll start then with the 2:30, which is the second race on the card. This is a nursery for the two-year-olds. It's a Class 2 race over the 7 furlongs. And as things stand, we have 8 runners, which is good for each-way placings.
Yeah, it is indeed, although it does look as though the race concerns 2 or 3 horses who look to have more notable credentials than the others. I'm not sure we're going to see a surprise here. For me, I think the clear pick is Mutawatheb for Richard Hannan and Paul Hannigan. This two-year-old grey built in a promising Goodwood debut to score on good to soft ground at Newbury on his second start. He went to Ascot next, but was very free on the way to post, and he could only manage fourth behind Apex King that day. In third in that same race was Frankus, who's since gone on to back up the form with a win last weekend at Haydock. And last time out at York, the drop back to 6 furlongs rather caught out Mutawatheb. But again, he ran a really solid race. And this return to 7 furlongs with a little bit of juice in the ground, I think it's sure to suit. He comes out on top of the speed figures, and I think he's the one they really all have to beat.
Yeah, Mutawatheb is the selection then. Which are the other two that you think might be up there?
Well, Anhook comes here on the back of a debut win, but it wasn't a fantastic time at Redcar, and he's unproven with cutting the ground as well, and there will be a little bit of an ease in the ground at Donny. Not a lot is the other's conceivable danger. He's in very, very good form, but again, Mutawatheb has the better speed figures, and invariably the clock doesn't lie. Speed kills, folks.
Yes, it does. Not a lot running for Michael Bell, who won the race last year with Show Legend as well. So that's the first race we're going to look at Doncaster, the 2:30. Let's move on to half an hour later than the 3 o'clock. This is a listed race, and it's over the 5 furlongs. It's a sprint for 11 runners.
Indeed, yeah, the Scarborough Stakes, a listed race over 5 furlongs. There's going to be a little bit of ease in the ground, as we say. Muthmere is sure to be high up in the betting for this, but overall he's had a little bit of a disappointing year for William Haggis, whose stable continued to be in terrific form. But as for Muthmere, he's just been a little bit disappointing. Last year it looked as though he might develop into a real force in the sprint division, but it hasn't really developed as such for him. Thesme is respected on the back of a fantastic run at 66-1 to finish fifth in the Nunthorpe last time out. That bare piece of form gives her a very good chance here, but she could be vulnerable to finishers again. I'm going to take a chance on Pearl Secret, who finished 11th in the Nunthorpe behind Thesme that day. But he shaped as though he's on the cusp of a return to winning form. If you look back through his last 10 runs, 7 of his last 10 races have been in Group 1 company. The other 3 were in Group 2s. So this listed race represents a real breather for Pearl Secret, who's been mixing it at the very top grade for a long time now. He's versatile in regards to the ground. And I think he's got a really, really big part to play in this race under Oisin Murphy down in class.
Yeah, Pearl Secret, of course, and distance winner as well. Selection in the 3 o'clock at Doncaster. We move on then to the 4:10, which is a Class 2 race over the 7 furlongs. Battlements is a non-runner here for Roger Charlton, but there still are 6 that remain.
Yeah, a really tricky little race, actually. And there's 2 or 3 in this. Any one of them, if they won, it wouldn't really surprise you. Richard Hannan's War Glory is unexposed on the turf, but at the same time he's unproven. Both of his wins have come in the all-weather. He's yet to fully impose himself on the turf, or on the clock, to be honest. So in terms of speed figures, and he's unproven on the turf, I'm happy enough to leave him alone. Roll On Rory is in terrific form for Jason Ward and has to be respected. But he steps up significantly in grade here and has a lot more on his plate. I'm willing to take a chance, maybe, that Charlie Hill's Shanghai Glory can return to form. Was quite disappointing over this course and distance last time out, last month. That was on good to firm ground. He was fancied to run well enough that day, but he literally ran no race at all, just didn't turn up. Before that, he was pretty progressive over six furlongs. He enjoys a little bit of cutting the ground. He's got some very good speed figures in the locker. And if he can bounce back to form, I think Shanghai Glory could reward his punters with a big run.
Yeah, top weight in the race, Shanghai Glory. Let's move on to the 4:45. This is a Class 2 race again over the 1 mile and two furlongs. And we're going even shorter in terms of runners in this field, just the five.
Yeah, another trappy affair. I think Mount Logan is going to be really fancied for this, but at Goodwood last time out, he was really disappointing behind King's Fate. I fancied him. I backed him that day. I thought he was in for a really, really big run at Goodwood. At a course, he really likes Goodwood. And he just failed to deliver, and I'm struggling to have full faith in him on the back of that. Oasis Fantasy is another one who's likely to be high up in the betting for this, but has never won in a field of 10 or fewer runners. So that's a little bit of a concern for backers. He obviously has the ability to mix it well in companies such as this, but arguably he's better with a lot of cover in bigger fields than this. Landway Lad has to be respected on the back of a good Windsor victory last month, but I'm willing to take a chance that Revolutionist can bounce back to form and possibly dictate matters from the front under James Doyle. He's disappointed in his last three starts, but he's displayed some excellent form before that at Newmarket, Ascot, Redcar, putting in some really good speed figures before that. And as we know with Mark Johnston runners, they can return to form and they can bounce back to form at the drop of a hat. So it'll be a little surprise to me, at least, if Revolutionist fared a lot better than we've seen in his recent starts.
Yeah, we'll see how the four-year-old gets on then. In that race, Revolutionist is the selection for Kevin in the 4:45 at Doncaster. So we've mentioned the racing at Doncaster already on the podcast, but there's a race that's taking place at 3:35 on the first day of the St. Ledger meeting, and it is the Ledger Legends Classified Stakes. Joining me now is Dale Gibson, who is the Executive Director for Racing at the Professional Jockeys Association, and of course, formerly a jockey himself. He will be taking part in the race on Wednesday. Dale, thank you for joining me. How are you?
Pleasure, thank you. Very, very well indeed. I'm hopefully in good shape. I've been busy on the bike most nights for the last month and been riding out for Michael Dodds on Saturday since the start of the season. So I'm in reasonable shape.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. So you're obviously taking part in it on Wednesday. It's the seventh running of the race. Can you tell us a little bit about how it all started?
Yes, I mean, it started, our original race was in 2010, but the actual setup and organisation started the previous December. I'd actually retired in the October. I got asked to get involved not long after I'd retired, so this is way back at the end of 2009. Seems an awful long time ago, and indeed it is. A lot of water's passed underneath the bridge, and I've been part of the organising committee since then, small committee based at Doncaster, and the race has grown from strength to strength. It's run in aid of Jack Berry House, the injured jockeys rehabilitation unit at Moulton, which was finally opened last year, and it's been a great boom and a great help to a number of injured riders in the north of England, and also the redevelopment of the Northern Racing College at Bawtree, which is obviously getting people into the industry in the first place. And we've had some great fun, a lot of work along the way, but we've had some great fun, and we're looking forward to another great day at Doncaster.
Yeah, it's a brilliant cause and decent money on offer as well. You've yourself won this race in the past, haven't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I rode a horse for Les Eyre called Bob, and he managed to help me along the way 2 years ago. He was drawn two that day on the outside, and I managed to get up close home and win. And it was a great day. It really was, particularly as obviously I've been involved in the organisation, the planning of it, and actually helped to frame the race way back in 2010. The reason we went for a 1 mile classified stakes for 3-year-olds and up 0-70 was there's a lot of those horses in the system. There's actually 42 entries for this race. Only wow. 14 can run, but the benchmark is 70. So if you enter a horse rated 63 or 4, you're not going to get in. It's always very close to the mark. There's a number of horses rated 70. And generally, more years than not, we have a good close finish. And it looks the same way again this year.
Yeah, so you're on Chiswick Bay this year.
Yes.
For Richard Farhi. Tell us a little bit about this runner.
Yeah, I mean, he's been running well without winning. It looks like the handicap has got him, but you could probably say that about a few of these. He is an eight-year-old now. He hasn't won for a wee while, but he's capable of running a reasonable race. He wouldn't necessarily be at the forefront of people's minds having a bet, but I think he'll run well, probably without winning. And no finer man to ride for than Richard Farr. He actually rode my last professional winner for Richard the day before I retired at York in 2009. So it's good that Richard's doing so well, thoroughly professional outfit, and hopefully he can give me a good ride.
Yeah, not too far as well from his stables for this one to go.
No.
There's some big names, though, isn't there, in terms of trainers and jockeys in this one?
Absolutely, yeah. Joseph O'Brien, former champion jockey in Ireland, now training in his own right. He's flying over to ride Phosphorence for George Scott Blinkered, first time. Now, this could be a dark horse. He hasn't run for 427 days. He's dropping back in trip. But he could run well at a price. Top rider, Joseph O'Brien, on board. Interesting that they've kept him in training. Lady Jane Cecil trained him last year. Obviously, she retired, and the horse has gone to George Scott. He's an interesting horse at a price. And also, we've got to include Richard Hughes, three-time champion flat jockey, now training and training well in his own right. He rides Andrew Balding's Bluff Crag, drawn right in the middle, drawn eight. He'll be an interesting runner. But again, you could probably name half a dozen here. I have a sneaking suspicion, just a sneaking suspicion, that 13 could be lucky. Number 13, Hijran, Gay Kellaway, Michael Appleby, won twice this season, goes on any ground, and looks to be relatively well handicapped still off a mark of 70. So Hijran could well be the horse that we've all got to aim at.
Yeah, and you talk about the ground as well. It's good to soft listed at the moment. We are recording this on Tuesday afternoon, but it's supposed to be fairly dry, I believe.
Yeah, it'll be nice ground. It drains pretty well. I think we're going to have a decent week weather-wise. And unless you get real severe variations in ground, i.e. firm, which you don't often get these days, or heavy, you know, we quite often see that there's a lot of emphasis placed on the ground, and generally speaking, too much emphasis. You know, these horses run week in, week out. They know the time of day, and I would imagine it would be pretty good ground come race day at 3:35 at Doncaster.
Right. Well, Dale, best of luck. Should we be putting our money on Chiswick Bay?
Well, I think probably if you are going to have a bet, Hijran is probably going to give you as good a chance as any. But watch the market. You know, it's been a race historically where the market has spoken. A couple of years ago, we had a little bit of a boil over when Willie Supple won in the final stride. But we've had some good finishes. There could well be some each way value floating around with a few of these. So just watch the market. But I think Hijran will give you a good run for your money.
OK, well, it's a brilliant cause. And let's hope that, well, there will be plenty down there as well. But as there's plenty of people tuning in and enjoying, again, another fantastic finish to the race.
Thanks very much indeed.
Dale, thank you very much for joining us. So that's all the races we're going to look at on the first day of the St. Leger meeting. Stick with us throughout the week on all of the racing podcasts. You can hear selections from our expert pundits as the meeting concludes on Saturday. Kevin, thank you very much.
Cheers, Jack.
And enjoy the next 4 days of racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.